My guest today is Dave Voiles. Dave, how are you doing?
Very good, very good. Always nice to meet another Dave.
You're another Dave and you're another evangelist as well.
Yes, yes. There are many on this team.
What's your job?
So I'm also a technical evangelist in the Philadelphia area. So
that's a great city.
Yeah, I like it. I'm from New York, so it took me some time to kind of get acquainted to the Philadelphia area. Mm-hmm. I still very much miss all of my pizza and bagels from New York. but, you know, Philadelphia has great cheesesteaks and obviously a lot of history with Rocky and things like that. So I'm very much enjoying the city.
Excellent. What are we going to talk about today?
I'd like to talk about WebGL.
WebGL, what's that?
It is Web Graphics Library. So are you familiar with perhaps OpenGL or DirectX?
I've heard of it.
Okay, so OpenGL and DirectX are the two graphic standards for writing applications. So they can work...
Like desktop applications.
Yes, desktop applications. Glad you said that. So DirectX is what works on specifically Microsoft platforms. OpenGL will work as well. It is the Open Graphics Library.
Where so it'll work on other platforms as well as Windows.
Mac, Linux, things like that. And came out about 20 years ago, maybe a little bit more. So we have basically two competing standards for graphics libraries. Later on, as mobile devices got more and more powerful, we had something called OpenGL ES. So that's the mobile version of OpenGL. Hmm. So
those, what's the ES for?
I can never remember. You think I would know by now. I've given this talk enough times.
I don't either.
So as mobile devices got more and more powerful, we needed a way to draw these high-performance graphics, right? So if you're playing... Right. Clash of Clans on your iOS or Android device, it is powered by OpenGL. Mm-hmm. If you're going to play on a Windows phone, it'd be powered by our graphics library, DirectX. And there are a lot of wrappers or tools you can use to exchange calls between the two. Mm-hmm. So don't worry, you're not locked into one or the other.
Okay.
And then as the browser got more and more powerful over the years, and most recently, this was added in 2011, we have WebGL. So spinning off of the mobile version of OpenGL ES, we now have WebGL. So it's kind of getting smaller and smaller as time goes on.
What do you mean when you say smaller?
They're removing a lot of the parts that you would not need or make use of.
So the function calls available in the API.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So with WebGL, what this allows us to do is have high performance applications inside of a browser. Hmm. It's essentially browser agnostic.
Okay.
You can go to a site like Can I Use?
And OS agnostic as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So you can go to a site like CanIUse.com.
Yep.
And type in WebGL, and you can see which browsers currently support it.
All right. Is that an HTML5 thing?
Yes, then? Yes. Right. It is a technology as part of HTML5.
Okay.
And actually, 2 weeks ago, the Kronos Group, that is the consortium behind WebGL, or OpenGL as a whole, mm-hmm. Announced WebGL 2.0. So it's the next version that we're now starting to implement into browsers.
Hmm. Okay. So this is an open standard, but yes. Microsoft is adopting that. We're not gonna build a competing standard for Internet Explorer or for Spartan, for example.
Correct. Well, we do support WebGL right now in Internet Explorer. It's also coming in Spartan as well. In fact, if you want, we just added support or are currently adding support for ASM.js. That's ASM.js.
Okay. What's that?
It is essentially assembler JavaScript.
Assembler, like assembler language?
Yes. Okay. Exactly.
Hmm.
So it is a highly optimized subset of JavaScript.
Wow. Okay.
So you're probably thinking, like, what is this? How does it work?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So what is this? How does it work?
Yes. Well, I'm glad you asked. So what this does is it is a subset of JavaScript. We could write it, but we'd have a very hard time really understanding it because it's all minified and cleaned up quite a bit. But the browser understands it. So that's how we get native-like performance inside of the browser coming from native applications. So say, for example, I'm going to use a piece of middleware like Unity or the Unreal Engine. What I can do there is I can export my game using something called LLVM. Again, I forget what that is called.
Or VM might be virtual machine, maybe.
Absolutely.
And LL is Lady Love.
Oh, there we go. No, like LL Cool J. Right?
Who's from Philly.
Yeah. Oh, is he?
I have no idea.
Oh, that's man.
Idea.
yeah, he might actually. I always assumed him to be like an LA guy for some reason.
Could be. East Coast, West Coast.
You know, hip hop was good in the 90s. I know. So, what we can do is we can export this C or C++ application through LLVM. It spits out bytecode, so zeros and ones.
Okay.
And this bytecode is then run through an application called mscripten. It's open source. You can find it on GitHub. And that mscripten takes these zeros and ones and converts it to ASM.js.
Interesting.
So now we can have an executable In something like middle, like a Unity or Unreal, and spit it out so it plays nice inside of the browser.
Oh, okay. So now we're porting a game that was essentially designed for desktop applications.
Yes.
We're porting it to run inside of a browser.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, how cool is that?
It is fantastic. It's still very much cutting edge, though.
Okay. Does that mean that it breaks easily? Is that
it means support for ASM in particular is somewhat questionable. So we just added...
Well, what's the risk? You're implying some sort of risk.
Yes, yes. So ASM itself will not work on every platform right now.
Okay.
So again, you can go to caniuse.com.
Okay.
And you can see right there like which browsers currently support it. It is in development for IE and Spartan. Mm-hmm. Firefox is really the only browser that currently supports it 100%. Chrome's getting there, as are others.
Okay.
Because it's so cutting edge and new, though, we have some time before it's completely implemented, though.
Okay. So if you want to start using it now, get ready for it. It's part of, is it a recommendation then from the W3C? Has it gotten that far?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So then, so that means that seems to imply that it is coming from the major browsers.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. So the spec has already been written. Okay. About 3 weeks ago, Microsoft said, yes, we're on board with this.
All right.
Oh yeah.
Tell me about how you use it, like as a developer. Are you always going through a tool like Unity, mm-hmm. or writing C++ code, or are you writing JavaScript directly? What's the experience for developers typically?
Okay, so there are a couple paths we can take here. For ASM, you just essentially use your middleware tool of choice as long as it supports it.
Okay.
So if I'm going to write a Unity or Unreal game, I'm going to do the exact same thing I normally would, but I'm going to change the export target. So instead of, for example, Windows or Xbox, I'm going to hit the pull down for ASM,
okay.
and these middleware tools handle all that for me. But for something like WebGL specifically,
okay.
So they're, again, ASM and WebGL are both high-performance applications inside of the browser.
Okay.
For WebGL, though, it's a very low-level subset of JavaScript that allows us to talk to the GPU. Okay, mm-hmm. So instead of just being CPU-bound with our JavaScript, okay. we can now make JavaScript calls to the GPU.
That's the graphics processing
unit.
Yep,
okay. Exactly. So we can get around a lot of the issues that we're having with JavaScript previously, right? Single-threaded, dynamically typed, so it's not nearly as fast as... and it's bound to the CPU, I should say.
Okay.
So it's not nearly as fast as, you know, something like C or C++, which we can talk directly to the GPU with.
Okay.
So you can, you know, write this low-level code, but that's not very fun either, right? Because you still have to make all these crazy graphics calls. I can write shaders in a C-like syntax.
Hmm.
Again, not very fun. So our compatriots on the TED team, that's Technical Evangelism and Development over at corporate Microsoft, have written a very nice tool called Babylon.js. And what that allows you to do is have a framework to work with all this. So I can call babylon.mesh.square, and it'll create a square, a 3D square, inside of the browser for me.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so a number of primitives, a number of shaders are already there. It's very exciting to see the kind of tools they've come up with already.
Very cool.
So you think there's going to be some kind of performance hit, right? Assuming, naturally, when I first started using it, I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be native-like, but there's got to be a catch somewhere, right?
Right. Yeah, that's what's confusing.
It
seems too good to be true.
And say, especially
when you say cross-platform, because every CPU is different.
Exactly. So that's why the Kronos Group is constantly updating the spec, mm-hmm. and support is growing by the day. And by that, I mean even in November, as recently as November 2014, it wasn't supported in all mobile browsers.
Okay.
Now IE works perfectly fine. You can use something like the Chrome mobile browser on an Android device, as well as Safari and iOS. So in November, both Apple and Android announced support for it. So,
okay, so it's up to the browsers to abstract away the differences between the various CPUs.
Exactly.
And that's the delay. That's why it isn't instantly implemented. That's a hard thing to do.
Yes. So largely it's that, and also what this would allow people to do is sell high-performance applications through the browser itself. So right now, a lot of store owners essentially want you to have your applications inside of their store, right? But what if I have the ability to create something like an ASP.NET app that serves as my storefront, and then once you provide authentication and some sort of payment service, you then have access to this application. And I can just hit play, and my game will quickly load, and I'll have that, right? So it kind of circumvents the store in many ways.
Interesting. Is there, you mentioned games several times. Are there other applications besides games?
Sure. So another really good framework for creating visualizations is something called Threes.js. Spells exactly like you think it would, T-H-R-E-E-S. Huh? And it's another, we'll say, lower level WebGL framework. But if you know JavaScript, you'll have no problem with it. Mm-hmm. There's a very good sample that I generally show off when I'm trying to illustrate what this looks like. And someone created a 3D globe to illustrate the arms trade, right? So weapons are going back and forth between governments and countries. Mm-hmm. And you can see in real time how these large arcs are going between nations, as well as the direction and flow of funds and weapons. And you have all these sliders.
Some of those arcs are embarrassing.
Yes, yes. But that's a fantastic example I point towards.
Yeah.
Because this way I'll say, hey, you know, I could write this in JavaScript or HTML on, like, you know, a flat 2D canvas. And sure, it might be nice. That's not really going to impress my boss and blow him away, though. So instead, I can bring this to my boss's office and say, you know, look at this nice visualization that I have, right?
Yeah.
And for probably little less work, if not any more work than what you'd normally be doing.
Very cool. If somebody wants to get started using this technology, where should they go?
I would highly suggest starting with Babylon.js, like mm-hmm. I said, the framework that our friends had made.
And that's an open source thing on GitHub?
Free open source on GitHub. So
put a link to that.
Yep. And I understand a lot of people do not like JavaScript. Believe me, I understand your pain. So in that case, they've actually ported all this to TypeScript.
TypeScript is a typed version of a typed language that compiles down to JavaScript.
Exactly. So if you want to use something like TypeScript, that works just as well. They have mm-hmm. both versions of every class that's in there. So they try to make your job as easy as possible. In fact, they have a level editor. So if you don't want to have to do all this code, you can drag and drop objects in. You can export models from something like Maya or 3ds Max or Blender. So you can create all these models inside of another tool, drop them in, and the team actually wrote an exporter for these various tools. So you're ready to go right into a scene.
You're probably blogging about this, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Where?
DaveVoiles.com. You could find quite a bit of this. In fact, about November, I wrote a very nice article called The Current State of WebGL, where developers can have an understanding of which platforms and devices will currently service this technology, as well as what's coming in the very near future.
Dave, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. Microsoft is a great home because it allows me to combine two of my favorite things, friends and technology.